Books of the Bible. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The church bells aren't ringing for me, my gal, or the lovely borough of M-Y-T-H-O-L-M-R-O-Y-D. We all know how that's pronounced. This is Wretched Radio. 4,000 people used to enjoy St. Michael's Anglican Church bells dinging and donging every quarter hour. And now, because of the complaints of count them three whole people, the city council said you got to zip it between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m., which raises our first question. Jimmy, let's say that you're the Anglican priest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's kind of mind-boggling. You're the Anglican priest of St. Michael's. The government shows up at your church door and says, you got to zip the bells between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. Do you obey?
I don't want to,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I have a biblical standing not to.
So you're woke.
No. where did you say this was located?
You know.
Mithumroid.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I looked it up.
M-Y-T-H-O-L-M. Mithumroid? Oh, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that's it.
In West Yorkshire. Well, I didn't want to offend anybody from Mithumroid who might be listening. Okay, probably wouldn't offend a soul. The point is, they come to your door and they say, shut it down, and you would obey.
I think you would have to.
Okay, so you like Russell Moore. That's what I'm hearing from this.
No.
In order for a church to say, sorry, Mr. Caesar, we love to be good citizens, but we cannot obey you in this regard. If you have a clear teaching from the Bible that says to obey Caesar would be a sin against God, or if Caesar said you must do something that God forbids, then the church, it's a jurisdictional issue. The government cannot tell the church how to do ecclesiastical things. They cannot speak into our theology, nor can they dictate our practice when it comes to theological issues. And so if you can make the case that it is a sin against your conscience or a sin against God somehow, that the bells have to ring on the quarter of an hour, Jimmy was right.
What? I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Go get back to reading Christianity Today.
Okay.
Middle road person. 19th century church. 4,000 people. Three people complain. They shut it down. So they're no longer going to be hearing this beautiful sound. I love that. Okay, I guess this is cultural, maybe. Maybe it's objective. This to me is beautiful. The Islamic call to worship? Oof. Okay, here's our second question. Who needs to... I love church bells as much as the next guy. I'm actually playing this off of the YouTube machine. It is 1 hour and 1 minute of this. Has anybody ever said, honey, let's go listen to a video of bells ringing for 60 minutes. Anybody's who, what? And guess what? It's got 22,000 views after 8 months. I love church bells. But you know what? There's a lost art. Church handbells. Anybody still doing that? Maybe a few very conservative Lutheran churches. But the old handbell, remember that at Christmas time? How lovely that was. Gone, gone, gone. And so is the bell ringing at least for 8 hours in what Jimmy said in West Yorkshire. This to me is a sign of the times. And I think it represents more of a bummer than probably what meets the eye. Let me take you to Southern Italy. Why? Because that is where the church bell was actually invented. This was in the 4th century. Paulinus of Nola in Campania, which means bell. And that's why they actually call these, sometimes instead of saying these are church bells, I think they call them the campanella because they're from Campania. See what they did there? And they were originally created to call people to worship. Hey, time to get to church. Because this was the loudest sound that could be made in a village, and to reach people that might be out farming, they would ring the church bells, which basically said, come on, y'all. They began to appear later around the 6th to 8th centuries. Christianity is spreading, architecture more sophisticated, and more bells began to proliferate and dot the landscape of Western civilization. They were used for call to worship, prayer, Mass, Catholic and Anglican, Vesper services, and for timekeeping, because everybody couldn't look at their cell phone to check the time. They didn't have timekeeping pieces, and so the church bells served in that role. It marked the hours for monasteries, for the liturgy, including matins, lauds, all the different times that they have to get together in order to earn their way to heaven. It helped to structure the day so everything ran on time in the monasteries. Furthermore, the reason for the proliferation of church bells, spiritual symbolism. This sounds a little bibbidi-bobbidi-boo-y. Bells were believed to carry spiritual power. Many Christians thought the sound of church bells could drive away demons and storms. Ugh, that is so ridiculous. The only thing that drives away demons are bagpipes. Come on, people. It was believed to sanctify the air, and then it would remind people of God's presence and call them to repentance. That's not a bad thing, is it? How many times a day should you pray? How many times a day should you stop and talk to God? And the correct answer, I think, is as many times as you want to. He doesn't want you on some regimented system. But wouldn't it be nice to have a reminder? Hey, those bells that are dinging from church. Church is God's house. It would serve as a reminder to do some of that praying. It's not going to be done for 8 hours. And architectural and evangelistic statement is another reason that the church bell proliferated. It was central to the town or the village. And every time the bells would ring, it was a reminder, hey, we're a bunch of Christian folks that live in this here place. But it also brought about what they call community cohesion. Yes, it marked times for work, rest, emergencies. There's a public. This was the PSA. Instead of that horrible interrupt, that was sort of like the call to worship in an Islamic mosque, isn't it? This is a test. No, they would ring the church bells. Something's wrong. This isn't the right time for the church bells. Maybe people need help, and they would gather together to help their neighbors. In many towns, the church bell was the loudest and most far-reaching sound. And now it's going to be silenced for 8 hours. And I suspect if anybody else complains, they'll shut it down completely. And I realize we live in a different age, but it seems to me this is one more thing that is being deconstructed in our society. It seems that everything that we used to have in place for human interaction, human unity, human enjoyment of one another is being ripped away. This happens, I think, a lot in commerce. I don't even need to go to a store anymore. I go to Amazon, press play. Hey, it's going to be here in 8 minutes. Wow, that's pretty. It's as if they knew that I was going to order that stuff. I don't need to see them. They drop it at the door. I pick it up. And by the way, are the environmentalists onto Amazon? Because I got to tell you, it takes a lot of trees to get something delivered to our home. And I don't have to talk to anybody. And so that interaction is gone. You go to our restaurant, now you can order on the screen. You don't have to talk to a human being. You work from home, not with people. You see people on your cell phone, but you don't have to actually get along with them. You can pick and choose as you please. What does it do? It divides. And I know we're living in a different time. And I know this probably isn't apocalyptic, but it seems that church bells ringing brought people together. This is our town. It's our church. Those are our bells. That's our tradition. And it's gone. And I think that It is another shared thing has been deconstructed because we are living in a time where division and separation, and I'm not just talking about culture, I'm talking about the church. We are such a fractured society. And while I suppose the cute little village in West Yorkshire will continue to carry on, they're going to be doing it at least for a third of the day without a thing that unites. In fact, I'll make a prediction. It's going to continue to divide because somebody is going to complain, hey, I'm trying to work and I'm making phone calls and it bugs me, so shut down the bells. Okay. All right, if that's what this society insists on, but I think it's another reminder, we are living in a time where we don't have shared stuff. Pride in country, our community, our team, all of it. It just, our politicians, our institutions, and church bells are going to stop ringing. While I don't think it's the end of the world, I think it's a sign of the times, and it ain't a good one. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this, you're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute, Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Todd? Hey, Todd.
What?
Are you going to start? We've started.
Can I just sit and listen to my Spotify
for the next 8 hours?
It's only six.
Okay.
This is Wretched Radio. Hey, speaking of Spotify, when you're done listening to church bells ringing, please, I encourage you, I'm imploring you, go check out the Fortis Fellows podcasts. They are so edifying. They are so helpful. They are so instructive. They are so practical. And honestly, they're so good. Just from a production standpoint, I'm telling you, I think these are just super fine. I don't know who's producing them because I'd never want to acknowledge it to his face, but they are so good. Even the announcer guy.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good job. Brad Bigney's podcast on marriage and parenting. It's called Thrive. Go look for it. Honestly, hey, church bells are nice. Thrive is better. You've got Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. You're a Gen Zer. Go listen to it. Stop with the, what do they call it? It's the manhood thing that the manosphere. If, as I understand it, I could have this wrong, but the manosphere is this online culture of brohams that are getting together to be like really tough and stuff. And to be strong and obnoxious because they're so desperate to find some sort of an adult male role model who isn't all sissified. And they're flocking to guys that aren't helpful. Adam Tyson is helpful. It's called Way of Manhood. How's about Libby Glosson? Who's a little busy right now. She's got a son that's getting married. So she is, Jeff, she's... That is going to be a long service. I'm just telling you.
She's going to hear the church bells.
That is good. That it's going to, the sermon is going to go on and on and on.
You're going to do it.
Pretty much what I'm going to be doing. Her podcast is called Thrive. No, Way of Manhood. No, The Better Way. That's the one. Well, there's so many of them. The Better Way. It's for women. Dudes, you can listen if you want to, but it is stellar. I'm telling you. She is going to have an impact on the evangelical community because she's not, what's the word I'm looking for, Beth Moore? This woman is serious. She's sharp as a tack, theologically sound, oh so practical. And it is such a helpful, I have become a better woman because of it. It's called The Better Way. Who am I, you got Greg Gifford, Transformed. That's awesome. What am I missing?
John Crotts.
Yeah. Integrated. Hey, guess what? Mm. John's going to preach at our church.
Oh, he is.
Alpharetta Bible Church. Mm. John is going to, he's coming up to do an in studio thing. And it's going to be, I think it's about the Holy Spirit is what he's doing. Wouldn't it be nice to have a nice little compact teaching, a systemization of pneumatology to understand the role of the Holy Spirit and our interaction with him and the role that he plays in our lives and what he desires. And it's not to shine the spotlight on himself. That's John Crotts. He's going to be doing that resource. And then he's going to be preaching. I think it's August 3rd, something like that. I see you moving the thing around.
Okay.
Jimmy.
I'm just making sure.
It's like a nap. Honestly. I even nodded at you.
Okay, I didn't see that.
I got it.
Okay.
As I was saying, August 3rd, John Crotts will be at Alpharetta Bible. Well, you couldn't stop yourself. You're like you're playing Pong in there. We got a screen and it's got stuff printed on there. And I can see Jimmy's mush. And I can, these are some sound files. And then it says, Truth Unhindered, Match Campaign through 6:30, FortisInstitute.org/truth.
Yeah.
And apparently you didn't want me to miss it, so you keep it zipping around the screen, and I'm like swatting away at it like it's a horsefly that won't leave me alone. I got it already, Truth Unhindered campaign. If you'd be so kind to consider joining a Match Campaign dollar for dollar so that we can close the store. In fact, could I even encourage you to go a step further? If you would like to help us give away all of our resources, we give away all the stuff on the Fortis Plus app, but I'm talking about the store resources. We're closing the store. We're going to give them all away around the globe. And we've got a way that we are going to get them into well, even not so good churches. That's a great campaign. I'm telling you, we've got more coming. We have got some things loaded that we are going to start firing this fall that you're going to be hearing about. Okay, this summer, we're doing the Play the Man push. We're giving away these cards so that you can give away the gospel with a message about pornography to university men. It's an opportunity for evangelism. We send them for free. You just be the hands and feet. And let's see if we can get some kids saved and pulled out of that mire called pornography. And then this fall, we got more stuff coming that I can't tell you about, but I share this to maybe encourage you possibly to become a partner who partners with us regularly, like monthly. You can do that with whatever button you need to push at Truth Unhinged. No, Truth Fortison. Jimmy, could you move that thing for me so I can see it?
Yeah, you need to see it.
Yeah, Fortis, there it is. Fortisinstitute.org/truth. Fortisinstitute.org/truth. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be talking about at this point.
You hired me to be annoying.
Well, let me tell you, we are getting our money's worth. You are a good deal.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to tell you right now, let's try to answer the question that I raised 2 weeks ago. This one, I think it's pretty easy. On the other hand, I understand why there's a tug in the opposite direction, but I think we've got biblical clarity on this issue. Do you recall? I think it was on a Friday. I said, just think about this. Catholic bishops in Washington are now suing the state because the law requires clergy to report child abuse. What would you do? There's enough, Jimmy. So that you're doing biblical counseling, and somebody admits to you that they have been abusing children. You want to maintain confidentiality, but
yeah, not in that case.
Well, wait a second. So you lied to them? Well, they can't trust you?
No.
Well, that's the argument.
Yeah.
And the Catholic Church is saying, hey, if we're forced to report child molestation, it's the whole confessional box is going to be destroyed. People aren't going to trust their priests, and they're not going to go get help. Is that a possibility? Yes, it's a possibility. So how do we find clarity on this? And I think that it comes from protecting and being strong, and jurisdictional realms. We are commanded to protect the least of these. If somebody confides in you that they're committing a crime, that just immediately moves it from an ecclesiastical realm. You're now dealing with a legal issue. This is not a distinction I'm making. This is a biblical distinction. You have at least three. You could argue easily five different realms of authority. The two that aren't explicitly stated, but I think implied, are work, where you've got yourself somebody who is in authority and somebody who isn't in authority, and you have to obey those rules inside of that realm. I think you see that in the education realm. You've got somebody in authority and you've got to obey those rules, but those aren't the ones that are spelled out explicitly for us. In the Bible, you see three realms: family, church, state. And they all have authority, but it is a limited authority. What is the authority of the government? It is the sword to punish evildoers. So when somebody in your church commits a crime, you are not the one who is betraying a trust. You are doing what is legal and right and protecting somebody who is vulnerable or who has been harmed. Now, I get it. You're concerned about confidentiality. Might it be that a pedophile who is abusing children might not come to you for counseling? Yep. Yep. But I say, so be it. Because we must defend these little ones. And this is not betraying a confidence because they've done something illegal outside of this realm. This realm, I'm keeping a confidence for you. I'm not going to discuss all of these things. You do something illegal, different deal, different realm. And I have a responsibility because I also happen to be a member of that realm to report it. So maybe if you're a biblical counselor and this is a dilemma, maybe let somebody know before you begin counseling them. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, can you keep a confidence? You can say, hey, as long as what you're sharing isn't a crime, you have my confidence. But if it is a crime, you don't. Would you still like to talk? And if somebody leaves your counseling room, I get it. It's like, oh, I want to help the person. But that isn't the primary responsibility. The primary responsibility is the protection of the vulnerable one and participating in the realms of authority that God himself has laid down. So, Jimmy, question.
Okay.
Somebody comes to you, admits that they are a child abuser. You going to report it?
Yeah.
No qualms.
No qualms.
So you agree with me. Idea at wretched.org if you don't. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.